Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 12 of the Simcast, your weekly source for random assortment of whatever we feel like talking about. We might talk about sim racing stuff. We might talk about tacos. We might
eat more tacos. Funny enough, I had tacos for dinner tonight.
Well, good for you. We might talk about Lewis being a zebra bother. It just really depends on the episode, which episode you're listening is what you're going to get. I am, of course, it's the US week, so I am Ben Williams, and I'm joined ever, as always, by Mr. Louis Satterley. How are you doing, Louis?
I'm doing good. You know what? We completely missed an opportunity last week on April Fool's to where I could have opened up the show and introduced myself as Ben Williams, and then you could have been me.
Yeah, well, the UK.
Sadly, it wasn't our week.
No, sadly, it wasn't our week. We also didn't get to talk about the whole Rocket League F1 NASCAR thing, which whenever I heard that news, I assumed it was an April Fool's joke. And then I looked at the calendar, and I was sad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's not dwell upon the past, shall we?
Yes. We'll go to the past. Kill it if you have to.
Burn it with fire!
As I continue to do my Will Buxton impression. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at the Simcast Radio and use the hashtag SimcastRSL to talk about some of the various pieces of sim racing news and general tomfoolery that we talk about. You can also find us as members of the Collective, which there's an actually interesting thing that came up on the Collective earlier this week. So we might, if we have time, we'll talk about it in the show this evening.
Yes.
Unfortunately, before we get to really start talking about sim racing news, there was a bit of a loss that was felt in the sim racing community this week. For those who not be familiar with William Marsh, William Marsh has been a sim racing ambassador for many years. He worked originally for when I first caught wind of him was when he was working for Inside Sim Racing. I've been a subscriber to his channel, the Sim Racing Paddock, for a while now, and he unfortunately passed away this past week. So just want to briefly mention this top of the show, let all his friends and family know that we're thinking about them. They're in our prayers, and it's really sad. He was so young. He was only 27.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was so young.
Yeah. Something I've noticed online is that you never really realize how old / young someone is when you just, like, watching a video of them or listening to their voice every week, so.
Yeah.
Just another, you know, like, daily reminder that, you know, whenever you're interacting with someone online, there's a person on the other side of that conversation. But, anyway. Again, thoughts and prayers out to William's family as they're dealing with this difficult time. Now that I've depressed everyone, you want to talk about AMS 2, Lewis?
AMS 2, yeah, we gotta get onto a positive note somehow here, so let's go ahead and do that. What do we got going over here? Ben?
Mm-hmm.
What do we got going over here?
Well, AMS 2 has announced their newest update. Yay. They're celebrating their 1-year anniversary since their Ori Access launch with an update and a bunch of new content, including a little car you might have heard of, the Lotus 79. You know, that old bag.
Yeah.
Not impressive car at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is one that makes the regular rounds. One thing I do have to say, whoever is the guy that owns this car that keeps allowing the scanners to come in to take scans of this car, I mean, kudos to you, first of all.
Doesn't Lotus own it?
I'm sure Lotus does, but I don't know if they're necessarily the ones that are letting them in. If you know what I mean. Could be in a museum of some sort.
It's probably in a museum of some sort.
Yeah. So
something for me to look up later. Joining the Lotus is what AMS2 have called the F Retro Gen 2 series, which is basically... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I read that incorrectly. F Retro Gen 2 Model 1, which is basically an amalgamation, if I can pronounce things correctly, of a bunch of the other F1 cars of that era, just so that the Lotus has something to race against, just so it's not like a Lotus spec league or anything like that.
I just find it funny. Anytime there's a fantasy car of this time period that they do, they always do the wide open radiator like what the Renault had at that time period.
Mm-hmm.
At the very tip of the nose. I don't understand why they always do that. And none of them ever go with the flat nose, kind of like what you saw on the McLaren back then.
Yeah. I don't know.
Saw it on the Brabham some, too.
Yeah. Whatever you have to do whenever you can't get licenses, I guess. Right?
Yeah, I just like to see something a little bit different for a generic vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So. They also added more... I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of this circuit. Jacarepaguá.
I've never seen this before. I'm guessing this is a fantasy track.
It's the
this historical layout
International Nelson Piggott track. It's kind of like how Catalunya is also known as Barcelona, that kind of thing.
So circuit Nelson Piquet.
Yeah, Nelson Piquet. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of it referred to as this before. If I'm being dead honest.
Yeah, it's Portuguese.
I'm sure there's probably somebody out there that's probably yelling at me saying, "And you call yourself a motorsport fan?"
Yeah, Nelson Piquet International Racetrack, also known as Autodromo Rio Centenario. Oh, okay. A couple.
Let's not continue on with that one.
Yeah. That's a whole rabbit hole that we can dive down. Anyway, a couple other things that they did in the update. Your general basic physics adjustments to cars to make them more even. I'm not seeing anything hilariously funny that we can poke fun of.
My question is fixed GT1 championship lap length race sessions incorrectly treated as timed sessions? I'm sorry, GT1s were endurance races. How do you have lap length races and not timed races?
I don't know.
I mean, it's probably just the way that they've done it, but I mean...
Yeah. Here's another question. Spa Francorchamps fixed, quote, bad bumps at the outside runoff of Puman and Fagnes, right? Yeah, I think.
That's fun.
Yeah. I want to know what that means.
Fun would be going
that I
out of from the lowest part of the circuit.
Yeah, but what are bad bumps? What does that mean?
I'm guessing those are the ones where you hit them and then the rear end goes way up in the air. It's kind of like doing a stoppy, but you're doing it with a car.
I thought that was a feature.
No, Ben.
Anyway, if you want to read the whole...
So where'd you say it was? It was at Fauna and Puhon?
Fauna and Puhon, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to read the full information about all the updates they did to the last update, you can go ahead and read that. Moving on to...
Oh, here you go. Here's a good update on there. Interlagos Historic. Reduce road mesh noise.
So I...
What is road mesh noise?
I'm guessing that it's...
Is like, that the sound of scrubbing tires?
I'm guessing?
Okay.
Or like just like general tire sound. Like the sound the tire makes whenever it makes contact to a racing surface. Or
I guess.
Something along those lines.
Sure. Okay, let's go with that. Mm-hmm. Fix flipped Armco at turn 9.
So there was just a barrier facing the wrong direction?
I guess, because that's a big deal.
Yeah. All right. Let's just talk it up to that one being the funny update for AMS2. Move on to a different sequel to a popular sim racing title, R-Vector 2. Studio 397 published their development roadmap for March last.
Oh, this is new for me, because I actually haven't read this particular roadmap lately.
This was earlier this week. They hinted at that there's a new AAA. Is that like an FIA thing? I'm not familiar.
I believe it would be a track rating thing.
Okay. Well, there's a new AAA European track in development for R-Factor 2. A large PBR update to Lime Rock Park.
A large pad flu ribbon update?
I'm guessing that's what that stands for.
For anybody over in Europe who's not familiar with what PBR is, that's Pabst Blue Ribbon, which is a blue ribbon winning beer of the times. Way back in the day. AKA old man's beer.
Yeah.
Moving on. Start making me reminisce about Sebring again. Anyway. Yeah.
I'm trying to disseminate what they are talking about whenever they said that. Of course, there's an update as well, so there's the various odd fixes and additions, including most of the GTE cars, including just the C7, not the C8R, Corvettes, have a Eau Rouge livery, which I'm guessing is a Spa.
It's supposed to somewhat represent Spa. And the reason why it's not on the C8, actually, is whenever the C8 came out, it already had the Eau Rouge livery on it. There's a few of them that came out. Cadillac.
Okay.
The Cadillac had one, and I believe the Ligier did.
Okay. I haven't played through all the various skins on the C8R yet.
But the Eau Rouge livery was one of the first ones that you can get on the C8R. So apparently they've just expanded more. Put them on all the other GT cars that didn't have them. I don't think there's one on the Ferrari either.
They just added one. Oh, wait, no, they did not add one to the Ferrari. Just the M8, the Vantage, the RSR, and the C7R.
Right. And I'm guessing that's the GTE Vantage as well.
It is the GTE Vantage. 2019 GTE Vantage.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Let's see what we got over here. Portland update. I have noticed a few things on that.
Yeah. There was an update to Portland, to Silverstone, and Indy. None of which are really that interesting. Indy,
you were actually able to pick out, because they say they reduced the curb of the GP layout in turn 6, which, if anybody's familiar with what particular corner that is after going down the Holman straightaway, which is basically the road that runs right down the middle. You have the left-hander, the right-hander, and then in the previous version, it was a really, really tight, sharp left-hander again. Mm-hmm. Well, now they've made that a little bit more gentle now, to where it's a lot more easier to get onto the power, and it's not so abrupt and tight and single file.
Yeah.
So that's a much more flowing. That one's a very physical, visual difference.
Yeah. But regenerated all real road rubber profiles. I don't think it's that much of a visual difference.
Oh, so no. Real road is what they classified it as their racing line.
Oh, okay.
So basically, for instance, if you absolutely want to, from session to session, if you want to simulate like what a real life race weekend is, inside of the race menu before you leave, you can save real road, which basically saves in how much of the rubber is on the track, and then whenever you leave or maybe shut down your game, you come back, you can upload it, the track, to be exactly how it was the last time you were on it, so long should you have saved it.
Okay.
That's what they're referring to on real road for this.
Interesting. Again, you can go find all the various explanations about what was in the update. I don't think I've actually said this yet, so I'll say it. Now, this new AAA European track is expected to be completed towards the end of the year, whatever that means.
So that tells me it's more than likely going to be a paid-for track.
Probably, yes.
Because anytime they don't mention the name of something, that usually means you're going to have to pay for it, and they haven't made the press release yet. Based off of patterns that they've done before, as opposed to new tracks that are coming out and say, hey, by the way, we've been working on... Well, I'll use Portland, for instance, because that was the most recent one that I could possibly think of. Is they said, hey, we've been working on this track called Portland that'll be coming to you soon, and it will be free.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to other tracks, are like, for instance, on this one, new AA European track in development. Can't tell you what it is yet. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay for it, though.
Should we speculate?
You got to speculate to accumulate, my friend.
Yep. So, what do we think?
I want to say
I actually need to pull up an R-Factor 2 track guy because I can't remember what all that.
I think it's going to be Algarve
has,
because it's the most recent track that'd be added into the WEC.
I was going to say, yeah, we should probably say that it's safe to assume that this is probably going to be a something to involve the WEC thing that they have going on for them now since they were just purchased by Motorsport Games.
Yeah, which we'll discuss more about this later, because this also came up in a discussion that was on the community as well. So, but yeah, that's why I firmly believe it probably is Algarve.
Do they not have Monza on?
Monza is not an official track, so it could be that one as well, because Monza's making an appearance this year as well.
Yeah.
Like, so there's plenty of recreations of Monza that are out there, though, that are incredibly good.
Also, Catalunya is not on R-Factor 2 yet, either.
No, it isn't, but I don't see them doing Catalunya first.
Then probably, yeah. Anyway.
They're more based around endurance racing, so I see an endurance racing track coming on before those.
Yeah. And yet they have Portland.
Well, Portland used to host the American Le Mans Series for years.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I always forget that.
Yeah, which I was actually kind of disappointed that they stopped going there, but a lot of racing stopped going to Portland for a while. I think they had financial issues with hosting big name series.
Yeah. Yeah, Jordan, I'm not going to make a VR joke. Anyway. moving on. Going to take a small detour off to console land for a little bit here.
Oh, console land!
Yeah. So we've already kind of briefly touched on this before, but the FIA and GT Sport have now listed all of the various eligibilities, formats, etc. that we can expect in the upcoming FIA certified Gran Turismo Championships 2021 series, supported by Toyota, Michelin, Mazda, and Alpha, whatever Alpha is. So they're going to be still doing the two cups, the Nations Cup and the Manufacturer Cup. So you have essentially two different branches you can go down of. Anyone can participate in the online series in the sport world of GT Sports, provided that they are 18 years or older at the time of the event. It's still basically the same participating regions. You have North America, Europe, Middle East, Africa, Asia, Oceanica, and Central and South America. A couple different champion four events. The exhibition series, the first season, second season, etc., etc., etc. So it's essentially the same as their previous seasons. It's just with some added online final things that they normally do at Atlanta, sprinkled in because, you know, world events and all.
Yeah, real world problems go.
Yeah. This all kicks off in a couple weeks, I believe. Yes. On April 24th will be the round one of the Nations Cup, with the Manufacturer Cup starting a couple days earlier on the 21st.
Yeah. I've done a couple of the Manufacturer Cup races. Those are good fun.
Mm-hmm. I seem to remember that for the Manufacturer races, you basically pick the most OP manufacturer and just drive that the entire time.
Not necessarily you pick the most OP, and actually what I really like about it is that they do a good job of pairing you up against other people that are racing at a similar speed as you. I'm not sure what their algorithm is to figure that out. I mean, you could do some practice leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And I think they might use that as a feature of it. And I also base it off of a very, very tight licensing system as well, to where it's very hard to move up or down, or it's very easy to move down. Obviously, you just have to drive like you own the place and nobody else exists, like slamming into them and such. Yep. But, and actually, every online race that you do, they determine if it's clean or not, based on how many penalties you have and everything. So all that, it's a huge algorithm that they do, and they pull it all together, and then they pair you against people that have very similar racing platforms as you. And whenever I was doing some of those main cup races, and they're very short too, they're maybe 30 minutes from start to finish. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're very short races that do require a mandatory pit stop, because they will make it to where the tires and such wear out fast enough for that. And they may, from start to finish, you're having a great time. No other way to put it. I've seen a few racers come in from started in the very back, and they ended up almost winning the thing. I've had a race on there at one point to where I thought I had the awesome strategy. I was way out ahead early, and then I ended up having a pit. Ended up being put way in the back, because apparently I had a car that really abused tires for that particular track. And then I end up flying all the way back up through the field just to end up finishing third. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're very yo-yo-y, but they're also very tight and very close racing as well.
Yes. Just as a general reminder, and we actually have a date for this now, the world final for the Gran Turismo, FIA Gran Turismo Championship, will be Saturday, December 4th through December 5th.
Wow, that's a ways away.
Yes. Well, it's 8 months away. It's a year-long championship.
So they've gone ahead and just made it last for the whole year then, because I know before they did two or three of them a year.
Yeah. But you're adding the whole online funness to this, so.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Both the Nations Cup champion and the manufacturer, the winning team of the Manufacturer Series will receive their awards at the, this is kind of cool, the FIA prize giving ceremony for December 2021. So
nice
recognition on the world stage. That's always fun. Not bad for just a bunch of sim racers, right?
Hey, it's a start somewhere.
Yeah. Gonna stay in the Gran Turismo sport world for a second. Toyota Gazoo Racing, I'm sure you're familiar with them, has announced details of the Toyota Gazoo Racing GT Cup 2021, a new series in Gran Turismo sport. The TGR GT Cup is a new global series in which the GR lineup, including GR road vehicles and dedicated racing cars, will participate in competitive racing throughout a season. In addition to the GR Supra and the GR Yaris, the recently announced GR86, which I guess we can say is now confirmed to come into Gran Turismo Sports, since they kind of need it in the game if they're going to do it, is scheduled for introduction in the middle of the year. By varying car models for each round, players can enjoy virtual racing with a variety of cars, something that is difficult in real-life motorsports. This is similar to the GT Sport. They did a season last year, I think it was, with just the Supra, if I remember correctly.
They've been doing it for a couple of years.
Okay.
With just strictly the Supra. I'm guessing they're launching it as new simply because of the aspect that they're going to have more than one type of car involved now.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only thing I could think of.
Yeah. So I'm just skimming through this press release just to make sure we're getting all of the relevant information. They continue partly because of the effects of COVID-19. 2020 was a year in which people paid more attention to e-motorsports, which I think that's actually the first time I've seen that phrase thrown around. More than ever, exemplified by hosting of the virtual 24 hours of Le Mans, not to be confused with the other 24 hours of Le Mans. Many players
on various other platforms.
On various other platforms. But various other platforms which did not claim to be the official Le Mans race, but...
But they still had to cease and desist.
Yes. Many players from all over the world also participated in the GR Super GT Cup and the GR Yours Time Trial hosted by TGR, Toyota Gazoo Racing. Scrolling down.
This shows you my age, because every time you say TGR, I know it's Toyota Gazoo Racing, but I keep wanting to correct you to TRD.
That's the difference.
Which it's no longer.
It is no longer TRD. Okay, boomer.
Oh, you did not. Okay,
TGR
that's
plan.
Fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair.
You're only like 2 years older than me, too. So what am I?
I
saying?
Know, but that's fair. That was a good payback for
for the last show. Yeah, TGR plans to continue an active environment in e-motorsports, so that motorsports and sport cars will become more familiar to people all over the world and enjoyed by many generations to come. So, quickie dirty version of this is that...
Careful of your words.
Watch it. It is starting... The first round is April 25th at Mazda Race... I'm sorry. WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca.
That's a dollar.
That's a dollar. I see Mazda Race Laguna Seca pretty much on any game that I... play, except for iRacing now. So whenever I see Laguna Seca, I just immediately fill that in.
Yeah, I still just call it straight Laguna Seca.
Laguna Seca. Anyway, starts in 2 weeks. Yeah, on Sunday the 25th. From what I am gathering from this press release, because they're kind of skint on the details. It's online qualifying, just much like you're doing the FIGC Championship. Apparently, the final event will be held in conjunction with the FIGT Championship in December. So that's kind of cool.
Okay.
It's the same... I believe it's pretty much following the same structure as the FIGT World stuff.
And by FIGT, he means Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the old FIA GT Championship of the 90s and early 2000s. That is now Fanatec.
Apparently, they are... Okay, this is interesting. So, for the final, the race will be carried out inviting top 24 drivers from among those achieving the highest scores in rounds 1 through 7 of online races from 5 regions specified by the FIA. AGT Championships, as well as the TGR allotment, which apparently they are able to select 3 of their drivers to join in at the end of the event. Yeah. So, you can go to their website, totalgazooracing.com/emotorsports, to get more information about this if you so wish. And if I was a GT player and I was also a GT World, good grief, a GT Sport, too many freaking acronyms, a GT Sport player and I was a Toyota fan, I would be very excited about this.
Yes.
Yeah. I am really enjoying seeing companies embrace sim racing and not seeing it as the redhead stepchild that we don't really talk about in the corner anymore.
Well, sadly, it took a pandemic for it to happen, but yes.
Sadly, lemons, lemonade, you know the phrase.
Well, you always got to look for the rose garden in the middle of the wasteland. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it just took a worldwide pandemic.
Yep. But hey, we got the. It's getting the attention that it's been rightfully deserving. So.
Yeah. Moving on. You want to talk about this next one, Lewis? You're a little bit more familiar with this style of race management game than I am.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how to exactly approach it, but we'll go ahead and just give it a shot. This is more for the people that are into sim racing, but they don't necessarily acquire the skills for, excuse me, the driving portion of it. Or the driving portion simply doesn't interest them. It's more of the on-the-wall stuff. So, and effectively, a manager. So, yes, this is a type of motorsport manager sort of thing. IGP Manager launches a 3D update to number one race management game. That's their headline, not mine. It's a little selective. Everybody has their own personal favorites on racing games. And it's replacing the 2D top-down model that they've had from... Everything is being replaced with 3D. So basically, it's like an all-new game, but it's the exact same thing. Did it just make sense with that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's got new views, including onboard, which actually is a first, if I'm not mistaken, for these types of games. They have trackside and chase cameras, which, again, two firsts altogether, because normally they'll give you kind of like the helicopter view, and just recently games or similar games have been releasing...
Top-down view.
Yeah, top-down view, and they actually show the car. This one actually will show the car and be like TV cameras and ride-along if you want to, or trackside, and chase cameras. So apparently this is the only esports platform for race management, which actually, that's not entirely true, because there's another management game that I play on occasion called Motorsport Manager Online. This is the same Motorsport Manager that's had... to me, the run of the platform for the longest time, where you have your choice between F1 cars, GT cars, and prototypes, which they all run on different types of formats, but I digress. This is just my preference over anything else. So this new IGP Manager 3D, it's free to play with cross-platform playing between Android, iOS, and desktop, so it is another one similar to what Motorsport Manager was. And according to this figure that we're seeing, they've had 2.5 million users since launch. When the launch was, I'm not entirely sure.
I'm seeing 2011.
2011. So 10 years. So since launch, I don't know if that 2.5 million refers to the original launch or since the 3D version launches happened.
It's the 2.5 million users since launch.
Yeah, that's their graphic that they're using. So again, I don't know if that is the 3D aspect of it.
I believe that's the 2D aspect of it.
Okay, so if that's so, they've had 2.5 million years since its launch, which, in fairness for a mobile game, that they don't really get a lot of advertising out there for those things. So it's really something that you have to be looking for when you go inside of your app store, whatever it's Google Play or... what's it for iPhone? Is it the iStore?
It's the App Store for Apple and Google Play for Android.
Right, okay. So, on their advertisement, they also advertised that Dale Earnhardt Jr. from NASCAR is a regular player on this, but Dale Earnhardt Jr., he does a lot of sim racing on everything. So basically, if it's racing, he does it. Everything that he does is podcasting is racing. So I know he's been known to be caught in some road racing stuff on iRacing as well, so mm-hmm. Keep an eye out for him if you're out there in the iRacing world. So 24 international circuits are in games. From what I understand, they are the real world circuits. They are not slightly alternate ones and have a play on their name to sound somewhat like them. So, and this is the real cool feature about it, is that it uses real-time weather data for each circuit. So basically, if it's raining in Malaysia and you're racing at Malaysia, you're racing in the rain at Malaysia. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just making sure, because I mentioned in Malaysia about three different ways. I wasn't sure if I made sense to myself.
If rain falls mainly on the plain, then in-game, the rain in Spain would fall mainly on the plane.
Yes, there you go.
So I made that correctly.
Yeah. So if anybody has any more information, just go check out their website. Actually, it's igpmanager.com. And it's literally just spelled just like that, IGP manager, all lowercase, .com. So, I mean, if this is an aspect of racing that you've always wondered about or want to give it a shot, go for it. Best way I can describe these, because they do tend to make the races relatively short on these, is that they're good time killers if you're just, you know, sitting inside of a doctor's office or what have you.
Did we say this was free?
I think we did say it was free. Free to play with seamless cross-platform play between Android, iOS, and desktop. So basically, if you're racing against other people, they could be on an iPhone or they could be on their computer.
Yeah.
So
you might have said that when I was trying to see if I can find a track list.
Ah, you might have.
Yeah.
You might have. So some aspects on this, in case this actually does pique somebody's interest. You're fully able to develop facilities, you're able to develop your cars, you're able to develop drivers, you hire them, the engineers, everything about it, you know, salaries, what have you. You get to manage the whole team out of the whole, any direction that it goes.
Basically, it's...
So if your team fails, it's because your management was very poor.
If your team fails, it's because you suck!
If you didn't like that statement, I'm Ben Williams. If you liked it, I'm Lewis Satterley.
Send all complaints via Matt Hunter. basically, if you're
and hack George Twitter.
If you're more familiar with the Codemaster F1 games, it's basically that, except you don't actually race.
Yeah, and like I said, they've really been coming out in popularity lately. For instance, on my phone, just because I happen to be looking at manager games, there's a GT Manager out there. Literally, it is called GT Manager, made by the Tiny Digital Factory. They have one out there that just came out. There's been the Notorious F1 Manager. Me, for instance, I've always used Motorsport Manager myself, and they have two different ones. You have Motorsport Manager 3, and then they have Motorsport Manager Online. Online's a completely different aspect, and it's a little bit, we'll say a very big blend of everything, because there's some leagues that they have on there to where basically you can have a Formula car racing against a stock car or against a prototype against a GT car. All in one race.
So what's the Forza Motorsport approach?
It kind of is, but at the same time, they're all at the same performance level. So it all based on what league you're in. It's just basically whatever your car looks like.
Okay.
What it's trying to determine.
So it is the Forza Motorsport model.
Yeah. As opposed to the offline version, Motorsport Manager Mobile 3, you go on that and they have dedicated races. So they have F1 races, which are set to a certain lap length. GT races, which are set to a certain lap length, or my personal favorite, the endurance races, which are what the prototypes feature into, and you have three drivers per car that you got to manage, and you go down to pit stop strategy, what have you, to eventually go on and win the race. But much like any of these types of games, once you get to the top and you've beaten it, it just becomes repetitive over and over and over, and it's just with repetition. Yeah. There's nothing new to unlock. You've achieved everything. And it falls down to the wayside. Unless you want to start another one and go down a different pathway. Your choice.
Yeah.
Your thing.
That's it. Just going to continue to move on. Just because I mentioned Forza already, we actually do have some Forza Motorsport news.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Try to contain yourself.
So excited.
Yes, it's not
that sensation that you feel whenever you lean too far back in your chair just before you fall over. I feel like that all the time.
I'll have what he's having. so before I kind of talk about what's going on with Forza Motorsport, just curb your enthusiasm for a second. Chris Sasaki, who I actually have met in person when I was in Seattle for that one Forza Racing Championship.
So back if I may interrupt you real quick on that, yes. Ben.
Yes.
So that is not a normal name that we associate with Forza Motorsports. So what exactly is his position inside of Turn 10 Studios?
He is the creative director at Turn 10 Studios. So
that was Dan Greenewalt for the longest time, wasn't it?
I believe so, yes. Just because I'm a little bit more tuned into the Forza Motorsport side, there's been a lot of more or less turnaround in the Forza Motorsport, in Turn 10 Studios in general, just by things that I'm noticing, like names of people that I was used to be in contact with kind of disappearing all of a sudden. Other things like that. I believe Dan Grunel is still in some... He's still involved with Forza in some way. It's actually the first time I've seen Chris referred to as the creative director. So, hey, okay. good on you, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on promotion.
Yeah, earlier this week on Forza Monthly, which is their monthly update stream, which many Forza fans have been tuning in for the past, I'm going to say year, just waiting for that little piece of Forza, with the next Forza title news is going to be. Many of which, there have been several months where we didn't get really any information. The last piece of substantial information I remember was right after E3 last year, so June 2020. Which, you know, makes the Forza community a bit annoyed. But alas, Chris did come on the Forza Monthly show this week and announced that some players will be able to get their hands on the next game on Forza Motorsport series, or at least a part of it. Basically, what they're doing is that they're opening their Turn 10 feedback program up to the community at large, or the, what is it known, the Forza panel, so that people...
But these go up to 11.
Yes. But basically, what they've done is that they're letting their players sign up to be beta testers. All of their players. Not just select community members, not just the people in the Marshals program, all of their players.
Literally everybody. So it's not necessarily if you're part of certain other programs that they've had going.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've been on this panel for 2 years at least.
Yeah, I've been on it for a fair bit myself as well, which at first whenever I heard about this, I thought it was, I had overheard something where it strictly said the panel members would get it first, but it's news to me that everybody would get it.
Well, it's like you can apply to be on the panel now, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. They've been kind of giving us little bits and pieces of information, like if you've been accepted, then you'll get an email from Distress, that kind of thing. But unfortunately, that's all the news we have. I guess the end of the thing is that they've gotten the games far enough that they're comfortable with other people playing it. Apparently, it's been bouncing within different departments of the Xbox Game Studio for people to try out. And they've essentially built the game from the ground up again. Completely changed all of the Forza Tech parameters. Completely changed their physics, all of that fun stuff.
Well, hopefully it's more of a gear back towards to the 360 motorsport days of it, where it was more about a motorsport experience, not an arcade experience with motorsport involved.
Yeah. Forza 4... No, yeah.
4
Forza
was the 4 last good one.
It's pretty much like the GOAT of the Forza franchise, the greatest of all time. If so, I put on that gamer speak, we'd speak out there.
Absolutely.
In Forza 7, there was this weird, and I've talked about this on the Toro Radio Show in the past, might as well talk about it here on the Simcast. The Forza 7, 7 had this weird, like, car collecting focus that's not necessarily something you would, like, associate with motorsport, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They also tried to...
The thing about 7 is that it had so much content from so many different eras of racing. I don't think you could have found anything better whenever it came to the content side of it. The problem is that the execution of it was not that great.
Yeah. There was a lot to be desired. It had so much potential
to be the next Forza Motorsport 4, but it was just poorly executed.
Yeah.
So
launch title, what do you got to do? But, you know, I'm glad that...
Well, what is it? Now we're going on 4 years since the last Motorsport game
has been released? Yep.
Which, before, it's been an every other year thing, and was 2 years ago they said that we're going to wait another year to do this as a launch title. The new consoles are out, and we still don't have it yet. Now we're hearing this year, so now it becomes a four-year title.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in reality, with how long they're taking on this one, it has to be good. Otherwise, everybody's literally going to say, what have you been doing?
Yeah. To be fair, our old friend COVID, it's COVID, did have a hand in extending the development time.
And other social issues, I'm sure. But at the same time, it was Codemasters last year with the F1 game. They said due to COVID coming in, they were able to finish up the game much quicker than they thought they were going to. Mm-hmm. And we got it many months in advance. Granted, that's a year-over-year title. So I'm sure it's just basically plugging in a few extra things, adding a few graphical tweaks, and
not a complete
letting it go. Yeah, not a complete rebuild. So, like I said, granted they had a pandemic that they were working through that probably hindered some of their progress on this, but at the same time, you've had it for 4 years. Two of those years, you had no pandemic.
To be fair, two of those years they spent fixing Forza 7.
Well, they spent fixing it, but at the same time, usually whenever their new game's released, they immediately send half the team over to start working on the next greatest or latest and air quote greatest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but, you know,
they've had 2 years solid of working on this thing before a pandemic hit, and now they've had a year and a half of pandemic. Granted, it's probably slow progress, but you've had 4 years.
Yeah.
What you've done with your time is... Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to completely throw them under the bus about, this better be good, but, you know, I'm not looking for it to be
the next Forza Motorsport 4, but they've had a long enough time to develop this, and if they've really listened to the feedback thing that they've gone out there, because I know they've really harped on that sort of thing since Forza Motorsport 7 came out, and they asked for members of the community to give their feedback. Which, if a lot of them are like me, and everybody knows how I am towards turn 10, hopefully they listen to it. Mm. So, we criticize because we know what they're capable of.
We criticize because we know they can do it. Anyway, unfortunately, though, with this news that we didn't get a release date yet. So,
it doesn't surprise me. Usually, the Forza's titles usually come around August, October, the holidays usually,
The general consensus seems to be still holiday 2021, maybe end of quarter 3 2021, I'm not sure. It might get kicked back to quarter 1 2022 at this point, so we'll
I don't see it being a quarter 1 release. If anything, it's going to be late third quarter, early fourth.
Yeah,
that's just the way they've always done it.
Yeah, we'll see about that one. So
if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to be definitely next year, which then more criticism will definitely come their way.
Yeah. All right, so we got more or less about 10 minutes left in the show. Before we go down to eSport Roundup of the Week, I do want to quickly mention two things real quick. First of all, because we are on Radio Lama, I want to make sure that we mention that the IMSA iRacing Pro Series starts tonight. More than 30 of the world's top sports car drivers will take the digital green flag tonight in about, let's see, so it's about 3:50 right now local time, so it's going to be around 2.5 hours by the time the show is over, complete with commentary on iRacing's YouTube and Facebook channels. The commentary, of course, from the wonderful Giant Hot Off and the IMSA Radio crew.
Yes, best of luck to our colleagues over there for that tonight.
Yes. The race will be the first of a three-round series featuring a multi-class field of GTLM, BMWs, Corvettes, Ferraris, and Porsches, and the LMP2 Dallara prototypes.
Oh, nice. They've included LMP2 this time around.
Yeah. There will be drivers from, of course, the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, the Michelin Pilot Challenge, and the Prototype Challenge, as well as drivers from other popular series. So, be sure to check that out. As soon as we're done, I'm pretty much just going to go finish off the rest of my day so that I can watch this live.
Yeah, I'm still yet to see one of these things live. I really want to, but scheduling conflict.
I caught bits and pieces of the Mid-Ohio round last year. So that
Ooh, was, nice.
Yes, quite interesting. I don't remember where they're racing tonight. Where are they racing tonight?
Good question!
Sebring. Our own event at Sebring. So.
You know what's funny is that you mentioned Sebring, and I don't know why we didn't think that that should have just been the duh.
Yeah, well, it's only three rounds, so it's like, okay, here's the entire IMSA catalog. Which one do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on. So we kind of mentioned this quickly at the top of the show.
Which we need to mention it quickly now and not spend too much time on it for roundups.
Yeah. So there was a post in the collective talking about how we're seeing that the former FIA, was he the CEO of the FIA?
No, he was of the ACO.
Actually,
no, it could have been FIA WEC. Yeah, Gerard Nouveau. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Gerard Nouveau. After a successful 10-year stint as CEO of the FIA World Endurance Championship, so WEC CEO.
Mm-hmm.
He has come on board to the Motorsports Games team to be their motorsport advisor. The question was that now that we've been kind of seeing the boom has started to really calm down again, we have a lot of companies getting more interested in sim racing now. Do we think that this is going to be the end of the end sim racing as we know it?
Well,
sorry, had to throw that in.
So, yeah. So, and this was Ray Oliver who posed this on the collective. So thank you, Ray, for posting this because it's actually created quite the discussion point on here. The way he words it with, I feel we are now seeing the end of sim racing as we know it. I could see that as two ways. It could be a good thing or a bad thing. The good way being that it's only going to get better. So as we know it now, it's only going to get better from here. Usually whenever you see that sentence, it's just, you know, it's the end of how it is and it's never going to be as good as it is now sort of thing. With a lot of people such as Gerard Nouveau taking a keen interest on the sim racing thing, I think it's more of a, you know, I've conquered real world racing. Now I could potentially bring that over to the virtual side and have put my real world experience over to the virtual side. And then we can give sim racers a real, much closer to life sim on the virtual world, if you get what I'm saying. So I think that, to me, it sounds very exciting on that aspect, because Nouveau has now decided that he's retired from real-world managing of the FIA WEC. He's brought on to Motorsport Games, who are now the owners of R-Factor 2.
Essentially, they're the Thanos of the sim racing community.
Yeah, at the moment. In a good way, I think, at the moment.
Well,
it's all rather promising at the moment.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole,
I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth either.
Yeah,
so
the whole like community-wide cease and desist that the ACO sent out about the whole, like, this is the only Le Mans that should be running. Kind
so
of
at the same time,
taste in everyone's mouth.
Yeah, it was a kick in the teeth to us, but at the same time, we've been in the community long enough. They were the new kids on the block who just kicked in and tried to act like the cool kid right away. Whenever, I think, all the feedback that they got afterward, they realized it was like, no, new guy, you need to go sit down. Wait your turn.
Yeah.
And a lot of things have cooled off since then about that. They've become much more relaxed on a lot of things.
Yeah. So, in our respect, don't just come in here with your money and say you have to listen to us, though.
Yeah. Just because you have the real-world drivers doesn't necessarily mean that the real-world drivers are faster, which was proven whenever the real-world drivers were in that 24 hours of Le Mans, and they were not the fast guys.
Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, you're Max Verstappen. But
well, Max Verstappen, even though he was the fast guy on his car, and he is a heck of a sim racer, don't get me wrong, please don't shoot me, Max, he was outpaced by a few others out there, so who were not big-name guys, who were all strictly sim racers.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with you on that. It can either be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. Like, sim racing could effectively take its position as being the new grassroots style of motorsports. Just because, compared to, you know, buying a vehicle, getting out, getting racing, sim racing is a fairly low investment, I guess you can say. You can do it for relatively cheap. If you wanted to like go to the nth degree, you can spend thousands upon thousands of dollars. But
which at that point, you might as well just buy yourself a real race car and go racing for real.
Yeah, but you can get, you know, a Logitech wheel, which is decent enough for about $150. Get yourself iRacing.
You can go onto eBay and find anything for less than that.
Yeah,
it'll be used, but I mean, it's a start.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still on Christian's used rim, so.
There you go.
Yeah, but.
And it works good for you.
Yeah, but at the same other side of that coin, the not-so-good side, the ACO kind of being the predominant, like, I know we're picking on them, but that's because they're the worst defender of, now we're involved, you must listen to us.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, like. They're going to turn sim racing, which is a fun hobby for most people, and make it all about the money.
So here, you've gotten yourself a little bit mixed up here. Nouveau was strictly on the FIA side. He had nothing to do with the ACO side of things. So, and they, believe it or not, they are two different organizations that did work in tandem.
I'm not necessarily talking about Motorsport Games. It's just, I'm trying to do umbrella here.
Right. Well, it's one of those things that we just have to kick back and see. Me, personally, I think Gerard Nouveau being brought on as an advisor to Motorsports Games or Motorsport Games is a good thing. Granted, I didn't agree with everything that he did in the real world, but what happens or what works in the real world doesn't necessarily work well in the virtual world and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, how many spec racing series do you see out there in the virtual world? Almost every single one of them. All the big name ones, anyway. Everybody's running the same cars. Everybody's running the same platform. It's simply to see who the better driver is.
So before Lewis gets on his soapbox,
I'm off of it. I've already been on it. I'm done.
Okay. Time for literally the dying minutes of the show. It's time for the esports roundup of the week.
We got to make this one quick.
Yeah. Go ahead and do IndyCar then, if you would, Louis.
Okay, so final race of the three-race IndyCar iRacing Challenge took place last Thursday night at Sebring. After a fan vote, the location of the finale was, in fact, Sebring. Drivers were headed into the racetrack with driver lineup changes for the week, including Robert Wickens for McLaren. Wicky is back. It's always exciting to see his name on the grid. And Pietro Fittipaldi and Roman Grosjean would be forced to miss the race due to the real-world IndyCar testing keeping them away. And as a result, they're sim rigs.
Such a
bummer. And if they were testing at Sebring, I can vouch for this. It's very hard to get an internet signal in the pit lane down there. My campsite backs up to the pit lane that they use. Anyway, birthday boy in round one winner Alex Palou would take the pole position for Chip Ganassi Racing, with Road to Indy driver Brandon Eves continuing to impress by qualifying second ahead of last week's Homestead winner Sage Karam. Karam got the best start of all, went over the green flag, flew. He immediately flew past Eves to take second and would then drive down to the inside of Palou to take the lead at the hairpin, or the hurricane, as it's popularly known by the fans. From there, Karam would stretch his legs. Everything was looking peachy for him as he managed to retake the provisional lead after the mandatory pit stop at the halfway mark. However, his race would be tragically cut short when he clobbered the wall in the number 98 Honda. He would retire shortly afterwards. This would give the lead back to pole setter Palou, who now held an advantage over a few seconds. Now everything looked like it was going his way, but further back, Penske Scotty Mack was back there on the move. He dispatched of Enzo Fittipaldi and RC Enerson to move up into second and then began setting great lap times to eat into Palou's lead, with the New Zealander half a second a lap faster than the leading Spaniard. Scotty Mack would make his move with four laps to go with a great move into the sunset bend there. From there, McLaughlin would pull away by just enough to avoid a counterattack from Palou. McLaughlin would cross the line on lap 26. That is a very short race. That's about 100 miles, actually. With Palou finishing in second place, 0.8 of a second behind. That's actually fairly close. RC Enerson pressured Palou but couldn't find a way by, and the Top Gun Racing driver completing the podium and third place. Brandon Ease fell from his starting position of second and ended up being down in seventh during the midpoint of the race, but he would recover to get up into fourth, and he was racing for Meyer Shank Racing. James Davison rounded out the top five in the number 53 Dale Coyne Racing by Rick Ware Racing Honda. And that brings the IndyCar iRacing Challenge to a close. And now we get to look forward to real-life IndyCar racing at Barber Motorsports Park in less than 2 weeks' time on April 18th. Cannot wait for that.
Yeah. Last thing for the show. British GT Esports Championship Round 3 at Brands Hatch was this past week. Both the GT3 and GT4 championship leaders would extend their leads, with James Baldwin taking the GT3 class win and Niels Naujox taking the GT4 class win. Joni Fannin started on the GT3 pole, but despite having maximum ballast...
What exactly made there? That's another question for a different time.
There's a joke to be there, but I'm not going to make it. We don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Baldwin would make his way to victory to take the win for McLaren, with his teammate Michael O'Brien close behind to take a 1-2 finish for RJN. Fannin would have to settle for the last spot on the podium. Our good friend Angus Fender would cross the line fourth, but unfortunately a post-race penalty would drop him behind Morgan Short.
Boo!
Yeah, I know. And GT4, Naujoks' victory would be his first of the season, but because he finished on the podium for both the other two races means that he has a pretty nice lead in the GT4 standings. Mortz Gunnhard, I'm going to guess, would take second place, and Naujoks' teammate Gregor Schrill, finishing third. The British GT Esports Championship will continue its fourth and next-to-last round at Silverstone this Sunday.
Best of luck. Go get him, Angus.
Yeah. Major respect to Angus for getting the M6 to actually work. From what I've seen on ACC, the M6 is either it's good or it's really bad, depending on what track you're at.
I have a very strong hatred for that car in that game. A very strong hatred.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this week. Very heavy content show. I'm sure Matt will make a joke about us how we're the serious show or something along those lines next week. When they're over there back hosting the show, any final thoughts, Scooby?
Eat more tacos.
I just need a sound clip of that at this point. Anyway, from all of us here at the Simcast Show, stay safe, wash your hands, wear your masks, and bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.